work towards thinking about what I'm going to preach, actually a year to 2 years in advance. Not that I write the sermons, but I'm always preparing way in the future, thinking, working, reading, meditating. And this morning's sermon should be 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10, which is the nature of true conversion. But because of circumstances, I'm going to preach on Luke 13, 1 to 5. I have entitled this, In Times Like These. In Times Like These. I think you'll recognize, but this is a carefully constructed sermon. And I recognize not everyone is capable of sustained thinking. So I will do things to try to draw you back and forth. I cannot be real entertaining when we're dealing with people suffering. It is kind of repulsive to be laughing about suffering. So I'm going to ask a lot, and Tim McGrail talked about this a touch. This is just one angle on the issues that we face in the hurricane in Texas, what's going on in Florida. And for you, and there is 5 to 10% of people in this room that do not have the ability to be sympathetic. I'm not going to try to make you sympathetic. Some people live in their own time zone. They don't know anybody exists. But remember, these kind of things happen to you too. Verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans. Now remember, Israel had three portions. Galilee in the north, Samaria, which was kind of, they considered them half-breeds, and Judea in the south. And it's important that you know one more piece. Pilate only controlled Judea and I think Samaria. Galilee was controlled by Herod Antipas. But on feast days, people from Galilee would cross the Jordan River to the east, come down the Jordan River, cross back into Judea, because they didn't want to touch the Samaritans, and they would do their feasting in Jerusalem. So you got the picture. You got to hear what's being said here. It takes a little bit of biblical knowledge. Read it again. There was present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, people from the north. Jesus grew up in the north, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, meaning they had come from Galilee down to Judea to Jerusalem, and for whatever reason, Pilate and his henchmen killed a bunch of them, murdered them, while they came there to sacrifice. Verse 2. Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose or think or reckon ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, no, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or, Jesus continues using another story people that group of people knew about. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell? We would call this a natural disaster. Did anything happen, a natural disaster this week? Look at me in the eyes, including Frenchie upstairs. Not in my house! I don't have water in my basement! That's part of our problem. He says, are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell? We don't know what this was, but some sort of a tower just collapsed and slew or killed those 18 people. They were minding their own business. The next thing you know, they were dead because a tower collapsed. He says, think ye, the same word as suppose earlier, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, no, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This morning, I'm going to speak on in times like these. Forgive me one more time. You will have to pay attention because nearly every word is crafted this morning. You cannot ramble on a subject like this. So I would ask that you pray that you will have your attention to God's word this morning. And maybe it will help you have some answers towards these kinds of crises. Not all the answers, just from this text. Father, thank you that we have the Word of God. We oftentimes don't know the Word of God. It is amazing how ignorant people who claim to have the Bible, how little they know. Help me this morning be able to accurately and carefully expound on one little text dealing with disasters that happen in life. May you bless as I speak. May your people be helped. May they learn to think through this issue. Help me to lead them on this journey till we come to the conclusion that you have this in the Bible for. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We, meaning we, both hear and say certain slogans, cliches, and we say them and we hear them because, frankly, most of the time, they are true. They change from time to time. For a while, I would hear many people when they would greet somebody or leave a house, they'd say, "It's all good." I would hear in some circles, "God is good all the time." More secular people would say something like this, "Life is good." In the last few years, I've heard people say this, I am blessed, or we are blessed. And again, I think in most circumstances, that is true. Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 45, says this, "Thus that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he, our Father in heaven, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Psalm 145, verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." We could most certainly say we are blessed now. And we could most certainly say at this point in time, in the ultimate future, we will have all the blessings to be found in Christ. By the way, if you don't know me, I am reasonably enjoy life most all the time. I think on the whole, God gives us a good life. We were in Chicago yesterday for our wedding rehearsal. It got started, Tim, right on time. They told us to be there at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock sharp, the wedding rehearsal begins. My wife drove, so we got there early. That's not true, but we did get there early. We got there maybe 10 or 15 minutes to 2, went up to the place where we were supposed to do the wedding rehearsal, and we started promptly at 4 p.m. You say, does that make you nervous? No, because I have learned from Dada over here how to be patient. Excuse me, I am learning from Dada how to be patient. No, let's go back one last step. I want to learn from Dada how to be patient. We started promptly at 4, and I think we left there around 5:30. But may I say this, it was an enjoyable day. The weather was perfect. Traffic moved into Chicago. Our car gets great gas mileage, over 45 miles to a gallon. That was nice. After the wedding rehearsal, my wife had found a special restaurant close by. And though they had a little food there, and it was very good food there, you get your appetite. She told me before we left, she says, there's a restaurant close by called Mogadishu Restaurant where you can have, you say, what? Where's that from? Somalia. You say, I don't know what kind of food they have. I didn't either. That's the whole point. So Jenny said, we need to go eat there, and I always do what she tells me. So after the rehearsal, got over promptly at 5:30, we went to a Somalian restaurant, and I'll be honest with you, The food was so good, Jenny asked if we could go back today. The food was so good, by the way, and the food was wonderful, and the tea they made, and I don't really care for tea. I'm not British. It was wonderful tea. May I say to you, on the whole, life is good. Or you could say, it's all good. You could say, God is good all the time. You could also say, most of the time, I am blessed. But hear me, friend. Life, though it is basically and broadly good, and you and I can for days and months, and I'm going to speak to Frenchie again because he's the guy in the booth not paying attention like some of you are already checking out. Hey, look at me. For days, months, years, and sometimes decades, you can live your life, especially as an American, because we don't pay attention to other people, apart from pain. Until you can't. Until your sister gets cancer. And she struggles with cancer for 7 years, a day. And finally leaves a beautiful, sweet, 19-year-old daughter on her own. Until, Raphael, your wife, gets cancer for what? About 16 years? Wait a minute. All of your little goofiness and all of your selfishness and getting in your little corner and, hey, life is good. Yeah, there's another side of that. Are you all with me? By the way, on the whole, life is good, folks. I can smile and rejoice in the Lord most every day. But I guess I'm a pastor and I know other people aren't always smiling. And it's not because they're negative, it's because they're suffering. You see, most of the time as individuals, we can go along for decades without any real hard times until we can't. I want you to look at verse 1, and I'm going to this is going to zero in on text. So if you don't have a Bible, you need to look at one. This is going to be taking apart each line of this. In chapter 13 and verse 1 is where we will begin. I'm only going to say four ideas this morning. It says in verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him, meaning they came up to Jesus and they started talking about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. There's four ideas. Number one, bad things happen. I'll say that again. Bad things happen. I find the first line of this text very revealing. Dada, do you mind coming up here with your Bible? Because I might use you a little bit. I find the first line very revealing because something is happening that you're not listening to. Just put your Bible down just for a moment. Tomorrow morning, let's pretend we work together. And what do two people that work together talk about in most cases? They come together on Monday morning and they talk about, did the Bears survive? No, the Bears are already back in hibernation. We're not even in the first game. What about the White Sox? No. Look at me, friend. Is this true? Now, are you catching what's going on here? People also talk about human suffering in the same way. While they're picking their nose, drinking their coffee, playing around at their safe distance, did you hear about those people? Did you hear those people in Houston, 35 inches of rain? Did you hear along the coast some of them got, do you understand what 35 inches of rain is? Some of them along the coast got 50 inches of rain. Pearly back there, let me think, how tall are you, Pearly? 12 times 5 is 60. The only thing you would see is Pearly is her smile. Thank you. Now, I'm going to read this. Look at me and listen. We find people talking about tragedy at a distance. Because it didn't happen to them. we find people who have not been affected who probably feel lucky or blessed. Or some of them might think, I think that's in this text, that I deserve to have escaped the crisis. I don't deserve to have experienced what they experience. Maybe you're one of those people that you go to, you go, by the way, do you know what this is? This is nothing more than gossip. We treat human suffering as gossip. It's right in the text. They come to Jesus, they come to him, and did you hear? Wow. But they're doing it at a distance. They're not talking about one of those 18 was one of my relatives. You know the nice thing, the horrible thing about Florida, I told Raphael here when we came in, pretty much anybody in this room that's human, you either have family or friends in Florida. You just do. It's a little closer, but we come, let's gossip a little bit. And Jesus is, they're recognizing that bad things happen. Thank you, Dada. We're casually discussing the issue. Disasters. As if we're discussing the Bears, the Cubs, the weather. It's trivia. By the way, it's trivia just like we talk about the Bears, the Cubs, the White Sox, whoever you, it's trivia. Or just a little bit of gossip. But we're not really broken about it. Do you realize in just a couple of weeks, we've had a hurricane in Texas that destroyed a coastline? Some people had 50-plus inches of rain. I can't comprehend 50 inches of rain. Pete Vasilovich said where he was, for whatever reason, their home was higher. He said his home got no water. They got 35 inches of rain in Houston. But he said even where he lived, you couldn't go anyplace. Every road around him was closed. People are suffering. How about this week? I am 60 years old. I could be wrong. I never remember hearing of an earthquake that was 8+ in my lifetime. Anybody else? Do you know what that means? Pam over here could probably discuss with you what that means, because every point is exponentially higher than what went before. Cliffy, what were the earthquakes that caused the tsunami in Japan? Do you remember what they were? It was 9 there. I don't think I knew that. That was in the ocean. Folks, that 8.1 or whatever it was, they felt it 500 to 600 miles away. It did damage in Mexico City. Hey, but I'm not a Mexican. I wasn't affected, right? That's what these people are doing. They're bringing to Jesus some gossip. I don't live in Texas. Did you hear? I don't live in Mexico. Did you hear? I'm not from Florida. Did you hear? Well, let's look back at verse 13:1 again, please. I want to take this to the second level. And friend, this is the teaching time of the sermon. I have started by simply saying bad things happen. The normal thing we do, unless it affects my life, is we make it trivia. You know, we got all these little facts. Did you hear? Did you hear? But it doesn't bother us. It doesn't break us. We're not begging God for anything. It's just like, the Bears lost. First of all, that's a given, isn't it? The Bears lost. The Cubs probably won. The White Sox forgot to show up. And there was a hurricane in Florida. Oh, my goodness. Now I want to take this to the second level. Hear me carefully. Bad things happen, number one. Number two, bad things happen in great variety. There is a great variety of bad things that can happen in our life. In this text, we have two kinds. I want you to notice both kinds. Verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. Bad things happen in great variety. This is one of the varieties I'll talk about in just a moment. Verse 4, this is a different variety of that which is bad. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them or killed them. We have in this text two different kinds of bad things. We find, first of all, what we would call moral evil. Some pilgrims from the north crossed the Jordan River, came down the Jordan River to not go through Samaria, came into Judea, went to Jerusalem, and what were they doing? They were going there to go to church, so to speak, to go into the temple. They were bringing their sacrifices. For some reason, Pilate was a very inconsistent, impulsive kind of individual, and for whatever reason, he impulsively did something, and a bunch of them, look at me, you're bringing your lamb to the temple, and instead of being able to worship God, you are murdered with the blood of your own animals. So you were murdered by the Pilate's henchmen during a holy time or a sacred time. Human blood mingled with sacrificial blood, away from home, by a Roman occupier and an occupational force, they murdered. And by the way, they have family members. Bad things happen in great variety. This was a moral evil. Now if you look back at verse 4, please. Second kind of evil. This is what we call a natural, usually disaster. Philosophers will call it a natural evil. It's simply this. People were going about their business in a tower, around a tower, and for some reason the tower collapsed and 18 people died in the tower. There are no ambulances to call. There were no ambulance chasers to call to get your insurance money. And my friend, look at me in the eyes. The amounts of evil in this world are almost hard to calculate. Your two big ones are moral evil on one side. That's what people do. And on the other side, you have natural evil. Things happen. Do you remember it's happened a couple times in Chicago? They're having like a party, and I'll just say a party meaning a family gathering. And they have these three flat houses, and they have, balconies made of wood. You've seen it happen. 4 or 5 years ago, I remember a bunch of people were up on a balcony. They were eating hot dogs or brats or whatever. Whatever they were doing, gathering of people, and that thing collapsed. That's a natural disaster. By the way, bad things happen in great variety. There can be wars, murders, rapes. There can be hatred because of racial reasons. We have a few of those morons in this country too. Hey, look at me. One of the most horrible things that's ever happened wasn't what happened in Charlottesville. It was in a church in South Carolina, a little white punk went in to a Bible-believing church, went to Bible study with about, 10 or 12 black folks, and then murdered them? Now, I have a solution for that. Hang him the next morning. Okay. You say, you're radical. We're playing around with these kind of people. But by the way, it would have been bad enough if he had gone into a tavern and killed some black folks. He went to a Bible study and listened to the Bible study and then murdered some people. Hurricanes, typhoons in the Philippines, cyclones in India, floods in general. Whoops, did we have a flood in Gurnee? But you say, Pastor Warren, I don't live in Gurnee. That didn't impact me, right, Steve? I've already said, one of our good men in this church had a sister suffering from cancer for 7 or so years, made a heroic struggle. Ade, how many times did we pray, and how many times did your sister bounce back against all odds? But in due time, the Lord's taken her. Evil, bad things happen, and they happen in great variety. Now we get to the sermon. Now we get to where you live. Look back at verse 1 and verse 2. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans. So we got that first idea. Bad things happen and people gossip about it, chit-chat about it, make it part of their trivia on Monday morning. But bad things happen in great variety. In this case, Pilate murdered some people coming to sacrifice at Jerusalem. But verse 2 is where I want to go, and then down to verse 4. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose or think ye, meaning all of you, that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Everybody look at me. Do you know what Jesus is saying? These people, look at me. These people that came over to Jesus to do a little gossip and a little trivia, not only had they not been affected, not only they think, I didn't deserve that, I'm special, they were looking at those people that had been killed when that tower fell and those people that Pilate had murdered, and they're probably thinking what? They deserve this. Yes? They deserve to be killed, but not me. I'm special. Look at verse 4. Jesus says the same thing about the second mess. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, slew them, killed them. He says, think ye? Same word as suppose earlier. Suppose ye, don't you think, that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I have said 2 points. Bad things happen. Number 2, bad things happen in great variety. The 2 big categories are moral evil, where a human does something to another human. The second thing is natural evil, where a natural disaster happens. Those are the big categories with lots of little subcategories. Number 3, and this is the sermon this morning. By the way, the sermon is point 3 and 4. Bad things happen, look at me, without explanation. I'll say that again. Bad things happen without explanation. Wait a minute, I'm not finished. They happen without explanation, and yet they demand explanation. When you look at a crisis, it is natural for you and I to want to know why. Why did that happen? So we're in a dilemma. We're pulled this way and this way. Anytime something horrible happens, you're in a dilemma because these bad things happen, but, oh, look at me, friend. God does not whisper in your ear and tell you why they happened. So they come without explanation, but yet on the other hand, but yet they're in need of explanation. You want to be able to say, well, I understand why this happened. That is part of being human. I believe as a young man, and even to this day, my favorite word is the word why. I think I learned it early. Bad things happen. Listen carefully. People start talking. They talk because they're thinking. They're trying to make sense of why those bad things happen. They are thinking because they must know why. There's something in us that must understand. It's cause and effect. We look at this effect. These people were murdered by Pilate. What did they do wrong? They must have been sinners, the greatest sinners that come from Galilee. This tower fell. Why did it fall and kill these people? They must have been the greatest sinners in Jerusalem. So people start talking. They talk because they're thinking. They're thinking because they must know why. They must understand. But they're looking in my opinion, in all of the wrong places. They're thinking these people are sinners above everyone else. The second word is a little different word for sinners, but it's the same concept. It's the word debtors in Greek. They owe greater. There's something wrong with these people. So we have a hurricane in Texas. Why did it happen? We have a hurricane in Florida. And frankly, as bad as it's going to be there, look at me, friend. What's happened in the Caribbean in those small countries is much worse than happened. Florida has, on the whole, prepared for these sorts of things. Those little islands, that people go on vacation. I don't even know the names of most of them. Those are people that are very poor, and from all the pictures, they just don't have anything now. Why did it happen? We start asking. Now look at me. You think this doesn't affect you? I'm going to wait till the folks that are already asleep wake back up. It's embarrassing, friend. You are responsible to God for what you hear this morning. When I was a young boy, if a family had a person in their family, mom and dad, had a retarded child, do you know what most families did with that retarded child when the retarded child grew up? And don't be religious. They hid that child. That includes people that grew up in this church. Why did they hide that child? Because the average American would think, you have a retarded child because of something you did. Well, I know why that problem happened to you people over in Florida. I've already been hearing this foolishness. They're sinners. And you mean you're not? Some people blame evil spirits. Some might blame the devil. Some might, by the way, some people love to blame sin, as long as we're not talking about my sin. My favorite, please look at me, you're going to hear this whole week. Last night I watched a little bit of the news. They had an expert on. He was saying the cause is global warming. He actually came out and said global warming is causing all of this. By the way, some of you are a little bit slow in this room. When they say global warming, they're not talking about global warming. They're talking about Americans are bad, and we're causing global warming, and global warming's causing this. And if that Trump would just sign those accords again, all this would go away. I even heard one idiot say that Donald Trump caused the hurricanes. You say, why? Well, he is white. According to some, he is a racist. According to most everybody, he's somewhat of a buffoon. He's arrogant. He's rich. I've even had a few. Now, we're going to get deep here in a moment, and I'll have to take you there. A couple people say God caused the hurricane. God is judging Florida. And my first question is, if God is judging Florida, why not Illinois? Are we somewhat better? Oh, wait a minute. From Stacy over here, everybody around this room that likes to drift, that's what you're thinking. This isn't hitting me because somehow I'm in a better place than those people down there. This is a game we play. So I'm going to tell you a little story, my only story of the day, really. I knew a so-called pastor. Nobody called him pastor, they called him preacher. Dada, you know those young men call me preacher, and I shut them up every time. I preach, but I'm a whole bunch more than a guy that speaks. He liked to be called preacher or the man of God. And by the man of God, what did he mean? He meant that he was several places above all of the rest of you hoi polloi, common people, the unwashed, the ha'am ha'aretz, the people of the land. He's way above you people. He's the man of God. Every sermon he would call down the wrath of God on somebody. God's judging you. Over and over and over, I heard this pig called God's wrath down on other people. I remember going to a funeral with this, and you say, you're calling somebody, yeah, he's a pig on a good day. Went to a funeral. Young man died of heart disease. The guy was in his 30s. You know anything about heart disease? Do normal people die from heart disease in their 30s? If they do, it's probably what? Yeah, hereditary, genetic. And it was. His brother was there. His brother had the same heart disease. It was a dominant thing in his family, and they just had, you think you got problems. You have heart disease, and there's no way to escape it, and you're in your 30s, and you see your brother dead, and you know what else. I saw that pig walk up to that young man, and the young man smoked, which is stupid. He smoked. He had his Marlboros right here in his pocket. It's at his brother's funeral that's just died of heart disease. Should he smoke? Probably not. What are those? What are you smoking for? God's going to judge you. At a funeral? Wait a minute. Take a breath. But that same man of God, when his wife died of cancer, and his son hit a tree head on and almost died, drunk, amazingly, God wasn't judging him. You're going to learn some theology that's bad this morning, so keep your ears open. Are you ready? Those kind of people play this little game. God is testing me and judging you. That's pretty clever, isn't it? So God just tests me, but he judges you. Where do you get in that line? Can I be honest with you, folks? If I read this correctly, all of us are worthy of judgment. I think we need to get over that. Now, do you think, thank you, Dada, do you think God has anything to do with this? Yeah, I do. Problem is, I don't know what. I want you to hold your hands in Luke 13 because we're coming right back here. Could you look at Isaiah 45 with me, please? Isaiah 45 with me. 45 and verse 7. Isaiah 45, verse 7. When you find that, I'd like your attention again. I want us to understand, Pastor Warren carefully crafted this doctrinal sermon. Look at me, to take you from point A to where the text takes you. So I want you to get every single step. So when you leave here, you actually have a handle on thinking at least a portion of this issue. We begin with bad things happen. Now, most of the time, bad things don't happen. Most of the time, life is wonderful, but bad things happen. They happen in great variety. The two big categories are moral evils and natural disasters or evils. Thirdly, where the sermon is, they happen without explanation. But for a human, we have to understand why. So though they're without explanation, they're in need of explanation. So we try to concoct it's Trump or it's global warming or it's because they're sinners. In this case, they're sinners much greater than I am. Really? Let me ask you a question. Do you really want God poking around in your business? Do you really think you can hide from God? Isaiah 40, but where is God in this? And I'm going to tell you what I think. Isaiah 45, verse 7. God says, I form the light and create darkness. And in this text, it probably has both meanings. Physical light, physical darkness, and that concept of light being, you know, that which is a beautiful day and darkness meaning that which is bad. He says, I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. I'm not going to read every verse in this text, though it is worthy of spending time with. Maybe Wednesday we'll talk about it. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. That's in the Minor Prophets, folks. If you don't know where a book is, always go right before Matthew and turn backwards. You know, you'll find it. I think it's Hosea, Joel, Amos. I'm almost positive. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city? This is the ancient world now. How did they announce any kind of a problem? By trumpets. He says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Well, the obvious answer is you better be afraid. Do we not have on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock Tommy? Don't we have a, what did he call that thing? A siren that's a, it's for disasters. They use trumpets. He goes on to say, shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Everyone look at me. We're going to get to the fourth point, which is where we conclude. I say this about God. Is God sending the hurricane to Florida? The answer is this. I don't know. I know this. In some way, God is behind all things. But that doesn't mean God is looking down there and saying, boy, those Floridians, they are so wicked. I can think of a lot of places that are wicked. I've looked at my heart recently. It isn't always real good. But in some way, God stands behind everything. In some way, nothing can happen except God either directly causes it, indirectly causes it through means, or maybe God just, for whatever reasons that we don't know, he permits these things to happen. So he's either permitting it, causing it, or indirectly causing it. But my answer is, we don't know. So, bad things happen. They happen in great variety. The moral evils, the natural evils. They happen without explanation, but as humans, we want to know why, so they're in need of explanation. You're always going to wonder. And I would say this, in one way, you come back and realize God is sovereign, God is in control. He probably isn't just looking at Florida and saying, Floridians, you're so bad, 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 bad. God has purposes. I don't know what they are. So I would say more on the permission. God is permitting this to happen. Well, it might be God is permitting this to happen for some of you and me to do what? Glad you asked. Let's look back at Luke 13. We come to the last point. Luke 13. And we'll begin reading in verse 3. No, let's just read 1, 2, and 3, could we? There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Bad things happen, and we tend to gossip about it. Bad things happen in great variety, moral evils, natural evils, verse 2. And Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose you that, do you think these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Bad things happen without explanation, but they're in need of explanation. And friend, please look at me. I don't want to belabor this. Every person in this room, including the person you're looking at, you have an excellent tendency to point fingers at other people. Don't kid yourself. I know why Tim has this problem. See, how do you know this? Because I do it. The problem is we don't have God's eye. We don't know what God wants most of the time. Why an earthquake in Mexico? Because they're so wealthy? Because they're so sinful? Why a hurricane in Texas? If I was God, I wouldn't mind sending a hurricane, San Francisco, a few other places. But see, that's my stupidity. There's no explanations attached. But now we come to verse 3. Would you look with me? Here is the conclusion. I tell you, no. They weren't greater sinners than anyone else. And then Jesus turns the table and says, but except ye, what's that word? Repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 4. He says, are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye? You see, we have the same thing repeated, but two different kinds of evils. Bad things happen. They happen in great variety. They happen without explanation, but in need of explanation. And number 4, bad things happen and will happen to us unless we repent. Verse 5 says, I tell you, again he says the same thing, no, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Many of us get everything wrong, very wrong. We get the wrong impression. We think evil and bad happens, but it doesn't happen to me. I guess I'm okay. I'm good. I'm safe. But we're missing the point. In Jesus' viewpoint, when we see evil and natural evil happening, it should force us to move towards repentance. Now, we're going to do three things real quickly, and there's three kinds of repentance, and we need to say them very clearly. In Acts chapter 20, you do not need to turn there. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul speaking to unsaved people, and if this is how you know you're unsaved. Do you follow Christ or not follow Christ? Drop the writing your name in the Bible. This is what Paul says. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, bad things happen. They happen in all kinds of varieties. They happen without explanation, and you're going to want to know why. And it's easy to point fingers at them because it's them, it's not me. But bad things happen and will happen to us apart from repentance. If you're not saved here this morning, look me in the eyes. Look me in the eyes. You need to look at yourself in the mirror and ask, am I truly saved? Because unless you repent, you shall likewise perish eternally. There's a second thought. 1 John 1:9. This is for believers. Don't get too comfortable. It's amazing to me how comfortable we become. We sit in church. We struggle to stay awake this morning when we're dealing with human suffering. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to what? Well, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think for some in this room, it's repentance for salvation. For all of us, look at me, all of us. When I see the suffering in Texas and in Florida and in Mexico, I see the people suffering on the islands. It pushes me as a believer towards repentance because, friend, look at me. If I got what I deserved, I'd be suffering worse than Hurricane Irma. I'd be suffering worse than the hurricane in Texas. I'd be suffering worse than the earthquake in Mexico. And as a believer, yes, I've turned to Christ. I've been saved by God's grace. But I got plenty of my own sin. I don't need to worry about those people in Florida getting judged. I think I need to repent here. Now you need to turn to another book. Sorry. In the Minor Prophets. It's easy. Go to Matthew, Malachi, Zechariah, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Would you look there? Habakkuk chapter 3. You know what? It's Haggai, then Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. I got my H's confused. Habakkuk chapter 3. It's about five books back. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, I do not have time to talk about Habakkuk, but I'll give you in a nutshell. Please look at me after you find it. Everybody find Habakkuk chapter 3. By the way, you're going to hear me pray this for the rest of my existence. I have been praying this prayer since the first day I came to this church. On 9/11, I prayed this prayer. If you're not praying this prayer, who are you? Habakkuk gets the worst news anybody could get. Habakkuk is a prophet, and he gets the news, I'm going to judge Jerusalem and destroy it. He's a prophet in the Old Testament. Habakkuk is shocked. He's scared. He finally comes to one of his conclusions. Look at verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. And then you have upon something, shiganot. You say, what is that? Some form of music. We don't really know exactly. Look at verse 2. Here's the prayer. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. I want to ask you a question. Are you afraid? please look at me. Do you not get afraid from the living God when you hear this? Or do you just go back to eating your milk and cookies? We have millions of people in harm's way this morning about now. And you're here comfortably. Are you not afraid? He says, I heard thy speech. I heard what you said and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of years, make known, meaning make yourself known. In wrath, what? This morning, I'm going to have Ade come. Pastor Dada's already up here. And we're going to pray and look at me. I can see I haven't affected some of you at all. You're just, let's go home and eat some dessert. My friend, do you understand the wrath of God? I'm going to have my friends pray for God's mercy on us, this country. Look at me. I'm going to ask them and you, if you're a saved person, to pray that God gives us the ability to repent as a country, as opposed to what we've been doing for the previous 8 years. We'll do homosexual marriage if we want to, because there is a holy God that does pour out his wrath. Let's everybody stand. Ade, come forward, please. So this morning, what can we do as believers? Look at me as believers, at least three things. Number one, repentance. If you're going to go back to doing what you always do, do not pray. If you're just going to do more sleeping, this is not for you. Number two, beg God for mercy. Yes? Number three, it's not hard. It's not in the text, but it's every place in the New Testament, the Old Testament. Yes, be compassionate. Think of how you can help. That's what we need to do this morning. Ade, I'll let you pray first, and then Pastor.
Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, this morning, O Lord, we come to you as your body in Christ. We come to you as our believers in Lake County Church, Lake County Baptist, O Father, giving you thanks for your grace and your mercy upon us. Giving you thanks for making it possible for us to be here this day, O Father. Lord, today we stand on dry ground in this church, in this building, not because we're special, not because we deserve it, not because we are different from others. It's just because of your grace, O Father. Lord, this morning, throughout other parts of this country and parts of the world, in Florida, in Houston, in Mexico, the Bahamas, St. Martin's, there are a lot of people, some of them who are even better than some of us, who are going through disaster this morning, O Father. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace upon them. Heavenly Father, we don't know why. We can't say why. It happens. Lord, but you know. We just ask for mercy. We ask for guidance. We ask for strength. We ask for determination on these people who are going through this disaster, O Father. And in our own small way as a church, we just pray and ask for your blessing upon them. Give them peace, give them guidance, Father. Lord, some people will lose their lives because of the disaster. We just ask for comfort on their families. We ask for comfort on them. Lord, we stand in front of you today, O Father, not because of anything or not because of anything we've done. It's by your grace, O Lord Jesus Christ. We just ask for your grace, ask for your mercy upon us, for this country, O Father. Lord, too many things going on around us. We don't know why. You know why. We just stand fast in your word, knowing, O Father, that you said, if we believe and trust in you, everything will be okay. And we know, Father, in you we are safe. Bless us this day. Be with us. Guide us. And may your grace and your mercy abound in us. Amen.
Father, who are we that you are so gracious to us? As this country, Lord, is suffering, we ask you to look upon these people, Lord, as you have looked upon us. As a church, Lord, we ask for mercy. We ask for your grace. Most especially, we ask that we may help. You have comforted us. We went through trials, different times, different people in this church, that we may be able to comfort others also. And so, Lord, we don't know in details the purposes, but we do know that you are in control. Somehow, you are behind. You are looking upon these people, not through your grace common to all of us, but most especially the purpose of drawing people to your Son. And so, Lord, use us for whatever we can do. We have so plenty, O Lord. We have been living in a land of milk and honey. And so, Father, we are giving back. We are lifting up these people. Some are friends, some are family, some we know from a long time. So, Lord, we pray for mercy. We pray for guidance. We pray for comfort for these people. But most especially, we pray for us as a church that we may be able to help, that we may be able to comfort, that we may be able to come together and be a blessing. And all this because of what you have done for us through your Son. And so, Father, with this evil that we see, with these things that is happening around us, may your purpose be our goal, that we may be able to reach people, that we may be able to help people, and that we may be able to give you all the glory. And so, Lord, in our times of needs, we ask you to give us mercy also and give us comfort. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
All right, folks, if you'll give me your attention for 1 second, I realize I'm going to have Pastor Kowak, you can come up. I don't know why it is, but many Americans are 100% disconnected from everybody. The only person they ever think about is themselves. It's weird. They don't know other people exist unless they're useful. As a Christian, this is how you think of the world. Every human on earth bears the image of God. That is your broadest circle of concern. You are connected because they are human. As we move inward, this is real simple, friend. We're connected because we're Americans. Yes? Part of this country. We move in then. We are connected in maybe a smaller circle through family and friendships. And then, friend, we're connected with the people of God. And I know many believers in Florida. And I have all of those connections. And so do you. You can live your life looking at yourself in the mirror, or you can drop the mirror and start thinking about something else. I think your repentance is to drop the mirror and look at the world. Father, bless your word this morning. Unbelievable, the suffering people have had. As Ade prayed for some of those islands, and a couple of them I had never heard of, my heart broke to hear of a mother with a child in her hands, and during a tremendous gale and water, the child was just swept away. How do they recover? Lord, I don't know the lady. Maybe we'll never see the lady, but I know you do. We would ask for your abundant mercy to be shed forth in the lives of folks in harm's way. And your grace, and we would ask for repentance in our church for our selfishness and self-preoccupation. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's close with number 157, please. We'll sing the first stanza as we close. Grace greater than our sin. 157.